George Goldbush, live in Vesta, Minnesota. I farm corn and soybeans with my wife and sons, and once in a while my daughter helps too.
And George, you serve both at the state and national level for soybean.
Correct. I'm an ASA director, and then I'm also on the Minnesota Soybean Association Board.
Well, let's start with the national perspective and some of the issues that you're really tracking closely right now, and what's important to farmers. We can edit this out.
Okay, because that sun is like,
sure.
I can't see.
You want to move over here?
Sure. Some All people right. can't chew gum and walk at the same time. I can't talk.
Sure. Probably there's a glare coming from here, too. So I'll just re-ask the question here. Let's start with the national perspective, George, and some of the things that you and others at ASA are really following closely, whether it's related to policy and regulation, things like that.
You know, one of our top priorities, of course, is to get this new farm bill done ahead of schedule once instead of dragging it out for several years. And I think with the way we're approaching it, it looks like and it sounds like that, you know, I want to be optimistic that we will get it done this year. But, you know, you never know. There's always some hurdles that get things caught up, and, you know, we'll work our way through that. But, yes, I hope we have a new farm bill before the end of the year.
Within the farm bill, looking at risk management and a safety net for farmers, when that legislation is finally signed into law, what do you want the Title I program to look like? Would it be a combination of ARC and PLC? Do they need to blow it up and start fresh? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, in my area, everybody signed up for ARC, and now, you know, it's not working. So now everybody's looking at signing up for PLC, and you know, that'll probably work until it doesn't work. So if we could get something where it would combine the two together, and every year where we could have a choice, and a choice between crops, which way we wanted to use, because all farmers don't farm the same, and we don't think the same. So, you know, what works for my neighbor probably doesn't work for me every year.
What else about the farm bill are you really tracking closely?
Another important thing in the farm bill is, of course, crop insurance. That's number one. We need a safety net. And, you know, if they could make it easier to... I lost my train of thought. let's see. Okay, we'll start that over.
Yep, easily edited.
Yep. The crop insurance is a very important part for any farmer because it's our risk management tool. So without that, you know, most farmers would just be dead in the water. And there's a point I wanted to make. We'll skip it.
Sure.
It might come back.
Yeah, if it comes back, we'll just throw that back in there. Let's talk trade a little bit. Secretary Perdue here at Commodity Classic touched on NAFTA his thoughts on where the president is likely headed on that. But it's been the cause of great uncertainty for months now, and certainly something that I'm sure you've been worried about.
Absolutely. Trade is the bottom line for most farmers. And, you know, NAFTA is a good trade agreement. If they could have just left it be, but, you know, with everything needs to be tweaked. But they just need to move so we know, you know, are you going to get something done or just going to keep dragging it out? And you know, whether it's unilateral or bilateral, just move, do something. Because we you know, it's like there's nothing going on. You never hear anything, any agreements or, you know, what they're fighting over. And it's not just NAFTA, it's other trading partners with Korea, Vietnam, China, Mexico, Canada are great trading partners, nice and close, but we got to think worldwide too.
I do want to ask you about the upcoming growing season, but anything else from a national level that you want to make sure we talk about?
Soy aquaculture. Since I chair that on ASA, I will talk a little bit about soy aquaculture. And it's also to do with trade because we import more seafood than we earn. We import just about all our seafood where we could be producing it here, using our soybeans here, and, you know, saving some money also when purchasing that seafood.
So what needs to happen to support that growth? Does it need to be within a farm bill? Does it need to be separate from that? Can there be things done at the state level, maybe through the legislature, to help build that industry?
Well, the main thing is to just get rid of the regulations so we can put out cages out into the Gulf of Mexico or on the coastals. You know, we have water on three sides of this great country. We don't use any of it for seafood, which is just a terrible, because you can just go to Mexico and they have cages out there. They're feeding fish thousands and thousands upon cages. And, you know, it's actually closer to our border, them cages, than to Mexico. For, you know, if they wanted to run out with a boat, it'd be closer to go out of the, I think it was San Diego or something. And terrible.
So what kind of a demand picture does this look like? I mean, if you throw out numbers and kind of try to forecast the potential of that market, do you have any numbers?
I was told, and you know, it surprised me when I heard this the other day, that if we would allow seafood in this country, it would be as good as the hog market or hog demand for soy.
Well, that would be huge. Let's talk about 2018, and you know, this has been a difficult stretch for farmers with commodity prices remaining low. Margins are getting tighter and tighter. Will that impact much of what you do as far as your crop rotation and inputs and things like that this year?
I sell seed. And this year, my customers are sticking with their same rotation. I haven't seen a big swing to corn or beans, or, you know, maybe an 80, extra 80 here or there back into beans, but no big swings, not in my area anyway.
What, in your opinion, are some of the keys to staying afloat right now? Because, frankly, there are some farmers that are looking at this year as a make-or-break year to continue operating. So as you think about that, what, in your opinion, what's the blueprint to not necessarily remaining profitable, because at some point that's not even a possibility, but just to continue to be in agriculture?
That's a good question, and I wish I knew the answer, because I myself and my neighbors were all in that same pinch. Luckily, like I said, I sell seeds, so I get a little extra income there. I run a trucking operation, so I get a little extra income there, because it's the only thing that keeps me afloat is the extra jobs. And then, of course, my wife works off the farm too. So, you know, wherever you can find income, you got to grab it. And health insurance, another major problem. In the last couple of years, it's more than doubled for me and my family. And it's just, you just can't keep up to it.
And the last thing I'll ask you about, you know, being a shrewd marketer, that's really key too. And we've seen a nice run-up in soybean prices lately, and I'm sure you've probably looked at those opportunities and maybe made some decisions. But that's really a huge piece of the pie, is to make sure you're marketing your crop correctly.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you can lock in profit, go ahead and lock it in. I wouldn't do it all right now, but... If your margins are positive, I'd sell some and then play a little bit for the future, and hopefully you can make more money. But, you know, that weather market's always a wild card.
Anything else you want to make sure we touch on today, George?
Just say thank you to your local farmer, because they work hard and never get enough appreciation.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.